Delighted to have you with us today. Last week we started our Advent, which is anticipating the arrival of the Christ child. And we light one candle every Sunday right up until the birth of Christ, which we will do on Christmas Eve, which we should do on Christmas Day, but I don't think any of us will be here on Christmas Day, so we'll do that on our Christmas Eve service. So last week we looked at the specificity of the prophets, how amazing they were, thousands of years, sometimes quite literally thousands of years, certainly hundreds of years before the birth of Christ, and how exact they were at sharing their thoughts regarding the Christ child who would come. Today's a different story. There were a lot of angels involved, and we light the angel candle today regarding the coming of the Christ child. But today, I want to share what's most likely a cosmic story, a cosmic event that happened just before the birth of Christ. And this is a seldom told story at Christmas. I've never seen a Christmas card that would represent this, and I hope that I never would, but it's part of the story. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, it says that our enemy, the devil, prowls around like a lion, seeking whom he may devour. There was this cosmic battle between the angels of God and Satan himself. And you and I are actually part of this story, and we'll look at this in just a moment. So our enemy, the devil, prowls around like a lion, seeking whom he may devour, but not all the angels do that. In Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 14, it says this, "Are not angels ministering spirits who have been sent by God to serve us who are inheriting salvation?" I want to look at this with you today, and I'm going to do a fair amount of reading, and you may want to follow along, and I'm going to move pretty quickly. In Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 16. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." And when King Herod heard of this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had called together all the people's chief priests and the teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be shepherd of my people, Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find the child, report to me so that I too may go and worship him," which of course is a lie. And after they heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. And when they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up, Joseph," he said, "take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up and took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." And when Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping in great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more. And after Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up and take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who are trying to take the child's life are dead." So he got up and took the child and his mother, and he went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus, who was the son of the former king, was reigning in Judea in the place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said to the prophets, "He will be called a Nazarene." There's this battle that's taking place. Have you ever seen a Christmas card that represented what we just read today? It's pretty rough and pretty difficult. One of the things that we've noticed in the past as we looked at the influence of Satan over the years is how he's influenced leaders, and horrible things have taken place. Sometimes Satan has been called the king of Babylon in Isaiah 14. He's been called the king of Tyre, Ezekiel 28. He's been called the prince of Persia, Daniel chapter 10. And again in Daniel chapter 10, he's been called the prince of Greece. And King Herod could be considered one of those other princesses of the devil. The devil is always trying to be at work against leaders of the world that would destroy many people's lives. And many of us have been alive to notice that over the years. Whether maybe Satan could be called the prince of Germany when Hitler was leading it, or Pol Pot or Romanov or so many others, Ceausescu and so forth. So many leaders who've been led astray, where millions of people were killed. So why are we talking about this at Christmas time? Because behind the scenes, and maybe not even so behind the scenes, there was this thirst for power that Herod had heard that there was a king that would be born. He had no concept of a spiritual king, and even if he did, I don't think he would be too concerned about that, because if there's one word that would describe Herod, it was power. He was thirsty for power. He knew that being on the throne was tenuous. And so Herod became very much a killing machine. He had murdered many in the Sanhedrin. He murdered 300 of his own court officials. He had murdered his wife. He had murdered his uncle. He had murdered his mother-in-law. He had murdered 3 of his own sons because he didn't want them to have any power. Caesar Augustus once said about King Herod, "It is better to be one of Herod's pigs than it was to be his sons." The pig had a better chance of staying alive. Herod passed this obsession to his one living son, Archelaus, of whom we had just read, who also became a killing machine. He wound up killing 3,000 Jewish leaders of that time. Merry Christmas, everyone. But it's part of the story. I mean, it's not Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. And it's not even a nice little picture of this beautiful little baby in a manger with Mary and Joseph and then whatever animal of your choice in the manger scene. The story of Christmas is beautiful. It's wonderful. It's amazing. We look forward to it, so many of us. And we light the candles every week leading up to this wonderful birth of Christ. But it's not just his physical birth, but it's the birth of Christ into each of our lives that changes us forevermore. But we would be remiss if we didn't notice how there is this battle always for Christ. Christ in our heart and Christ in the world. And that even though Satan knows that one day he will be destroyed, until that time, he's doing everything he can to rob us. And I want to notice from reading all of this to know that you and I are part of this story. And let's go a little bit deeper, and we're going to leave Matthew, and we're going to go to the last book in the Bible, Revelation chapter 12. And it's not a story that we read very often, but it's a profound story that demonstrates somewhat of what we just read. That, as Peter said, our enemy, the devil, prowls around like a lion, seeking whom he may devour. He tried it with Christ, and it wasn't going to work. But he hasn't finished. He wants to try it with us. And there's this symbolism, this amazing story in Revelation of a woman who's about to give birth. And Satan is there just waiting to snatch up this child. Just as the story that we read in Matthew, that Joseph and Mary are going to have this child that comes to them through God's power. And Satan is going to do everything he can through King Herod, and then if not him, through Archelaus, to get rid of them. And we read the stories in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, how many of the religious leaders of the time were trying to get rid of them. And here at this story of Christ, you and I become part of the story. And I apologize to men if you're somewhat offended, but men and women are called the woman here in this story. Revelation chapter 12, verses 1 through 12. If you want to follow along, I've got in my Bible Matthew chapter 2, and I also have Revelation 12, and also the story in Luke. But in Revelation chapter 12, it says this: a great and wondrous sign appeared in heaven, a woman, in representing all of those who believe in Christ Jesus, the offspring of Christ Jesus, all of those who are committed to Christ Jesus, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, a crown of 12 stars over her head, and she was about to give birth and cried out in pain as she was about to give birth. Then another sign appeared in heaven, an enormous red dragon. Now, in the Revelation, this red dragon represents the satanic forces of the world, Satan himself. And so here she's pregnant, she cries out in pain, she's about to give birth, and this enormous red dragon appears with 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns on his heads. He thinks he's powerful. And then it says this: his tail swept a third of the stars out of the sky and flung them to the earth. Well, that may not mean anything to us, but in the Revelation, in chapter 1, in verse 20, it tells us that the stars represent angels. And in this story, we know from Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel chapter 28, that Satan was cast out of heaven and cast down onto the earth. And a lot of people believe that when it says here that this red dragon, Satan himself, his tail swept a third of the stars out of the sky and flung them to the earth, that when Satan was cast out of heaven to the earth, that he took a third of his angels with him. I'm not so sure about that, but a lot of scholars who are much smarter than me believe all that. And we know that there's a lot of demonic influence in this world. Merry Christmas, everyone. We just don't talk about these things because there's still this desire from a satanic force. As Peter says, he prowls around like a lion seeking whom he may devour. And I doubt that any one of us sitting here today would think, well, that's not me. That our enemy, the devil, prowls around like a lion seeking whom he may devour. Well, surely not me. But our enemy, my enemy, your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a lion, seeking that this guy might be devoured, and you too. And then the Hebrew writer says, but wait just a minute. But Donnie, you've got angels all around you. Are not angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who are inheriting salvation? There is a cosmic battle for the life of the Christ child. 2,000 years later, it hasn't stopped for Christ living in us. He wants to take us away. There's more to Christmas than maybe we sometimes imagine. So let's pick it up again. The dragon stood in front of the woman, us who belong in Christ, who is about to give birth, the birth of Christ, so that he might devour her child the moment it was born. And she gave birth to a son, a male child, who will rule all the nations with an iron scepter. And her child was snatched up to God and to his throne. And the woman fled to the desert, to a place prepared for her by God, where she might be taken care of for 1,260 days. And I have no idea what 1,260 days mean. I read it and read it and read it, and at the end of it, I have a thought. I don't think anybody has any idea exactly what that means. But it's the fact that God is taking care of us. And then this. And there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels. And you may remember back in Daniel chapter 10, it talks about Michael and Gabriel, the archangel, that Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But the devil and his angels were not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. And the great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth, and his what? Angels with him. So we know Gabriel the archangel, we know Michael the archangel, and that there was this Lucifer, there was this Satan, who the name has been given, who was an archangel but thought he could get rid of God and replace God. Merry Christmas, everyone. It's this amazing story that brings us deep in around that manger scene, where this God of ours sends himself to the earth vulnerable and as helpless as can be. Can't walk, can't talk, can't do anything just yet. And that God puts his arms around people who might decide, we will do everything we can to love and protect this child and the angels too. And he does the same thing for us. And Christmas can remind us of all of this. And then my favorite part of this is found in beginning in verse 10. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser, which is another name for Satan, the accuser of our brothers and sisters, who accuses them before our God day and night, that he himself has been cast down. And then this. So what do? We do what they did. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb. That baby that grew up and showed us how to live and gave himself for us. And at his death, his burial, and his resurrection, a reminder that we can come to God even though we've been sinful through what this baby who grew up to become the Christ of the world and gave himself for us so that we too can experience this brand new life. And that we can overcome by the blood of Christ. In him we have redemption by his blood. That child grew up and sacrificed himself for us. We, the woman of God on the earth today, those who want to live in the Messiah, we overcame by the blood of the Lamb. We couldn't do it on our own. and by the word of our testimony. We are a living testimony to the Christ who lives in us every day, not to be kept hidden and not to be pulled out once a year or maybe two or three times a year. But we are the living embodiment of Christ who lives in us. This child is part of us, and we're part of that manger story. We're part of Christmas, even as we are on Good Friday and Resurrection Sunday. And then it said, and this is a tough one, they did not love their lives so much as even to shrink from death. And so we read in Hebrews chapter 11, a long list of people who gave themselves, who just offered themselves and sacrificed themselves for Christ. See, King Herod somehow thought that by power and might and a killing machine, that somehow that would elevate him to a higher place. It surely didn't. It surely didn't. And one thing about power is that it's very intoxicating. And Herod was drunk on power. But in the Christmas story, we are reminded, no, it's the love and the grace and the goodness that we all experience because of Christ Jesus. And I want to finish today by just reading verse 17 of Revelation chapter 12. Right at the very, very end of Revelation chapter 12, it says this. Then that dragon, Satan, was enraged at the woman. He is enraged at all of us who say Christ is Messiah. Then the dragon was enraged at all of us and went off to make war against the rest of the child's offspring, those who obey God's commands and hold to the testimony of Jesus. One day there will be no more Satan. But until that time, we stay close, not just to the child, baby, infant of Jesus, but that child who grew, who sacrificed himself, and who now lives in our heart. And maybe, maybe, this year when we come to our candlelight Christmas service and we light our candles, we remember that Christ came as a baby and that the star guided in that bright light. But maybe even more than that, we light the candle to say, Jesus, I'm never going to snuff you out of here. You live here forever. You are my life. And as the blood that we have that pumps to keep us alive, we know it's the blood of Christ that keeps us alive spiritually. And now we can say, Merry Christmas, everyone.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. The Beamsville Church of Christ meets Sunday mornings at 4900 John Street, Beamsville, Ontario. We have classes for all ages at 9:30, and the worship service begins at 10:30. You can subscribe to podcasts through Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music Store, or your favorite podcast app. Just search for Beamsville. All our past sermons and more information about our congregation are available at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.